Hello, and welcome to another episode of Pinot and Perfume. I am your host, Sarah Chacon. This episode is coming late to you today because I got into a cycle of rage cleaning slash organizing. What do I mean by that? So since I'd say August, like mid-August, we have been doing home renovation slash home improvement shit. In August, my husband painted our foyer, our dining room, that is the dining room. We moved our dining room into it. Our dining room, halls, and living room. And it's beautiful. And then just earlier this week, we got all new flooring. So we ripped up, we hired a company to rip up like our old cheap vinyl flooring and nasty ass carpet. And we put down this like really nice luxury vinyl tile or whatever. And it looks great. And I'm so glad we did these improvements. However, I am 33 weeks and 5 days pregnant. I am tired of the home renovations. I am tired of our house being in a state of limbo in terms of, I mean, it feels like we just moved in. And granted, some of this is mainly from having to pick everything up off the floor so that the floor team can lay down the flooring. And now we're in the process of putting it back and throwing shit out that we still hadn't unpacked, from when we moved in here originally, 4 years ago, decluttering. And I'm just at a point where I want the house put back together. I'm tired of seeing we still haven't put our pictures back on the wall from when we took them down for when my husband painted it, because we're trying to be more thoughtful, which is great. But I'm tired of living in a constant state of flux, of living in what feels like a half-finished house. I had my breaking point today when I looked around and, I had a pile of towels that I had to do that I did earlier this week, but I had to fold and put away. We had boxes we had to break down and chuck, cleaning supplies that were just still out that I had to be put away. The kitchen had to be clean. It was a whole thing. So I took advantage. My husband's out of town. He's visiting family in California. And I was like, this ends today. So I broke down boxes, chucked trash that we had decluttered and just hadn't chucked yet, chucked that, cleaned the kitchen, moved back. Well, the exercise equipment was pretty much moved. They just needed slight pivoting, which it's light and there is wheels. So it wasn't like I was doing any heavy lifting. Did that, put the tape, not our table, but we had a bunch of shit on our table, put our tablecloth and shit back on, got our table back together. We had this standalone heavyweight punching bag that my husband got me a few years ago when I was doing at home boxing workouts. Neither one of us have used it since, because I cannot never find the app that I was using didn't get updated. And so then I couldn't use it. My phone wouldn't let me. And I couldn't find any comparable workout apps that had free boxing workouts. So the thing has just been sitting in the office collecting dust. We've been debating whether or not get some water. We've been debating on whether or not to sell it. And I made the decision for us today. Husband's going to come home and it's going to be gone. But I was like, I'm tired of this being in the office and taking up space. There's just a lot of stuff that we just hadn't gotten rid of that was just taking up space that we don't use. So I dismantled this fucking heavy bag, put it to the curb, which someone took. So that's someone else's problem now. Did all that, freed up some space in the office. Our old ass vacuum, we have since gotten a Dyson. Our old ass vacuum that's just been taking up closet space in the hall closet in the foyer. Put that curbside, put our old carpet cleaner, because we don't need anymore because we don't have carpet. Put that curbside. Those two things were taken really quickly. A spare chair with vinyl coming off of it that my husband originally, someone had gotten rid of at our old apartment complex. These were dumpster chairs. I remember the morning I saw them by the dumpster. I was taking out our own trash, and I thought to myself, wow, those are some ugly ass chairs. Come to find out, I get home from work later on that evening, and those ugly ass dumpster chairs are in my apartment because my husband went down to the dumpster. I don't know if he would like if he had some extra trash he had to throw out, or if he just drove past the dumpster and looked, but he did. He somehow found these stupid chairs and thought they were a great find. And they he so we so he picked them up. There were three, took them back to our apartment. We have been using those chairs ever since, but there's one that he doesn't like because the vinyl is starting to peel off. So it's sitting in a corner of our dining room unused. Took that down to the curb, which that's got yet to be picked up. Nobody wants that free chair, which I don't blame it because I didn't want that free chair back 5, 6 years ago. All this is to say, it's not just our house being in a state of disarray. It's that on top of being 33 weeks pregnant. I hit 32 weeks and I finally started to feel pregnant. Like I know I'm bitching, but it is what it is. Like this pregnancy had been very blessed. It's been very chill. I've had energy and I felt pretty good for most of it. And then like 32 weeks, third trimester hit, most notably 32 weeks hit. And it's just like, I felt like all of a sudden, it's like my belly's in the way all the time. I can't like bending over, squatting down. It all is uncomfortable. Putting on compression socks before I go to bed at night has become an Olympic event, and a test of my flexibility. Just back pain, sitting in the same spot for a long time. I get up and I've got the pelvic pain, I've got back pain, baby's tap dancing on my bladder. It's like a whole thing. My feet are swollen every night. I'm at the point where I have to wear Crocs. Like my husband ordered me some Crocs and I swore I would never be a bitch who wore Crocs. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not usually I'm not picky when it comes to like fashion and shit like that. Like I have my, I guess, whatever sense of style. It's very casual, like jeans and a t-shirt, jeans and a tank top type of girl. I'm not trying to serve looks on the daily basis, like whatever. But I have a strong hatred to Crocs, towards Crocs, because they are so ugly. I don't care how comfortable they are. They're ugly. And I swore I would never wear Crocs because I have more pride and love for myself than that. And that has no longer applicable because Mama needs some shoes for her big ass swollen feet that are comfortable and I can slip on and off. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I know I sound super annoyed and pissed off, and I am because I'm at the point I want this la these last few weeks. I want to get the baby's room done, and then I want to be done with all of the projects. I want to have the last month of this pregnancy, or at least the last couple weeks of October, to relax and do nothing. I, in retrospect, we should have done all this shit earlier this summer or in the springtime before shit started getting real. Because now that it's starting to get real, I'm starting to slow down. I feel it. I can't, move around. I get tired. I found out too last week I've got to get friggin' IV iron transfusions, or not transfusions, IV iron fusions, because I'm anemic. It's pregnancy related, but I'm anemic. So, I guess the elevated iron and my prenatals just aren't doing it. So I've got to get intravenous iron coursing through my veins, which again, a little dramatic, but kind of my worst nightmare because I hate needles. And so far, if shots, I'm good. Shots are in and out. I don't care. I hate getting blood drawn, my blood drawn, because it's like the idea of a needle sitting for a long time in my veins, drawing out my blood to fill in vials. I can't do it. It grosses me out. I have a history of fainting. I cannot do it. And I have had my blood drawn more often this pregnancy than I have probably like the last 3 years of my life. And you think I would get used to it, but I'm not. And now I've got to sit for, they blocked out an hour, I don't know, to get, I don't know how long it's going to take the iron to get into my bloodstream, but I'm going to have to sit while with an IV in while iron gets transported to my bloodstream. Not looking forward to that. And I know it sounds dramatic, like, well, but I hate needles are my kryptonite. I hate needles. This is why I don't give blood. Don't come at me. But again, the idea of sitting on a bus, and I know it's for a good cause, I know it, but I cannot do it. I cannot sit and wait for a pint, a bag pint to be filled with my blood. I'm not going to make it. It's I can't do it. So that's where I'm at, and that is what led to the Rage organization and decluttering and cleaning today. I even organized our linen closet. Like, I was on the rampage, and I finally slowed down after I dismantled that fucking standalone heavy bag that I am just irrationally angry at for just existing and being in my house and not getting used. And so all I did a lot, and for someone who has been hella tired and taking like naps pretty much on the regular, I don't, Rage gave me a whole new second wind. So, and I was just riding that lightning. And look, in the at least the living room looks a lot better than it did. Now there's still leftover plank because they ordered extra, I guess in case we ever need to replace it. We shouldn't. Should be good for the life of the house, but we have extra. Those are too heavy for me to lift. I already lifted some sandbags earlier from the aforementioned fucking heavy bag, and drug them out curbside. So my hands, my hands are tired, and I'm not hoisting boxes of wood planks and putting them in the garage. I don't even know where we would put them at this point. That's up to my husband to organize those. We still have some stuff in the kitchen that was in the office and in our, it's going to be the baby's room, but the baby's room stash storage closet is in closets in there. We got to organize. But all of that is my husband's shit. So that is up to him to organize and purge and figure out what we're going to do. Hopefully it won't take him long, but I cleaned up pretty much everything else. And I feel like I can breathe just a little bit easier. I'm not quite as anxious when I walk in my house and see, you know, a stepping ladder, a step stool in the living room, you know, Swiffer wet jet that's going unused. It's not in the closet. Like, and I'm not saying that I'm a Pinterest perfect like organizer. My house is not Pinterest perfect, but things need to have a home or I can't see them on the regular. Like, they need to be in a room where I can't see them or have their own home, or else I will go bananas because I don't like clutter. I don't like shit that doesn't, yeah, I don't like clutter. So I needed to get that out, guys. So sorry, that's a bitch fest. That's where I'm at. I'm coming off that lightning that I was riding earlier of rage and being annoyed and being pregnant and just tired of the home improvement, tired of the projects. I just want to relax these last few weeks. Well, I mean, I got another month, but I want to just focus on getting baby girl's room set up and relaxing because mama's slowing down. And with that, we're going to get into our fragrance showdown this week. That's right, fragrance showdown. All right, so this week we've got a fragrance showdown. Bow, bow, bow. I've got my headphones plugged in, so I don't know if I brought up the soundboard with the air horn sounds, if you would be able to hear it. So you have to deal with my own sound effects. I did a couple of these in the early days of the podcast. One, the most notable being off the top of my head, comparing Tom Ford's Lost Cherry with Dua Fragrance's Popped Cherry, their clone. This one is a spot turned into a spontaneous fragrance Showdown. I was originally just going to review Tom Ford's Noor Dane War. However, I did buy Club de Nuit Intense Women from Armoff, which is a supposed dupe of Tom Ford's Noir de Noir. I bought this as part of my Treat Yourself fragrance haul that my husband told me to indulge in when he was a few beers deep with a friend. I believe I spoke about this on the podcast a couple weeks ago. So check that out. If you know, you know. And so, yeah, I thought I would do a fragrance showdown because I am blown away. So the Tom Ford Noir de Noir is a sample I'm working off of from Lucky Scent. So it is a dauber sample. I applied it with a pipette, like I do tend to do with those because I don't like to apply fragrance with my fingers. And daubers, I find, can just be messy. The Club de Nuit is a spray bottle. So that's how the application differs. Now, Noir de Noir, let me bring up these notes on Parfumo. Here we go. Stand by. Noir de Noir. All right. So a lot of people describe this as being like a roses and chocolate fragrance, like super dark and super sexy. And your fragrance pyramid, you have the top notes. The top note is saffron. Your middle notes are floral notes, black rose, and black truffle. Your base notes are moss, oud, patchouli, and vanilla. So there's not really a cacao note in this one, but I think it's just the combination of probably the oud, patchouli, and vanilla that's kind of giving it that dark, chocolatey smell that's mixing with the black rose and the black truffle to just to give it that really sexy smell. Now, Club de Nuit, Intense Women. Okay, so the notes in here, your top notes are geranium, saffron, and rose. Your middle notes are caraway, nutmeg, violet, and pepper. Your base notes are amber, oud, vanilla, and patchouli. So there's some overlap in notes. You have saffron and rose, although rose is in the top notes and not the middle notes like in Noir de Noir. And in the top notes, you have more than just saffron. And then you do have oud, vanilla, and patchouli in those base notes. So some overlap, a little bit more, a little bit different notes in the Club de Nuit Intense Woman from Armoff. So now my first impression when I sampled Noir de Noir, it was an instant love. I instantly understood why people were saying it smelled like roses and chocolate. It was sexy. It was dark. I needed it in my life. I looked up the price and saw that a 50 mil was $263 and was like, Now, I know I mentioned in the past, like if I were to add up the amount, like on my fragrance hauls, like the amount of fragrances I have bought altogether, I probably could buy one high-end bottle of perfume for the amount that I spent total on little fragrance hauls here and there. However, I just can't wrap my head around dropping that much cash on one bottle. Not when there are so many fragrances that I love and want. And I know that I can spend, you know, $150 and get maybe three, and instead of spending $200 and just getting one. I don't know. It just seems to be a better deal in you know, scenario A. And a lot of times too, some of these higher end, more expensive perfumes, sometimes the price is not worth it. I mean, the quality is there, but in terms of longevity, sometimes it's just not there. That's what I found out with the last fragrance showdown with Lost Cherry. Lost Cherry is a great fragrance. It's beautiful. It's like cherry and tonka. To me, I think tonka can kind of smell like tobacco. It has a little bit of a tobacco quality. It was dark. It was sexy, but I had a decant of it. But it just didn't last. And it definitely, I think it was when it came out, excuse me, it's a private blend, just like Noir de Noir. And it was like $350 or something crazy. And it's like, there's no way I can justify spending that amount of money on a perfume that isn't even going to last me that long, you know? And so I ended up with the Pop Cherry Dua's recreation because it smelled, you know, opening was a little bit different from the original, but the dry down, virtually indistinguishable, and it lasted, like theirs is a powerhouse, lasts all day, and was only like $60. And so that I would have I you know spit my I bought that bottle instead. I finished my decant, bought the clone, and haven't looked back. I've been very, very happy. So when I found that Noir de Noir was like $263, I was like, there's got to be a dupe. Like, I can't justify spending that much money on a perfume. No shade to people who do. I just, that's, I'm always looking for like a cheaper deal, you know, that something that I would feel a bit better spending. And so I hit up my Facebook fragrance group, Femme Fragheads. That's what it's called. Great group, my people there. It's very unfiltered, but everybody is super, super nice and just very passionate about fragrance in general. I did a post on there saying, hey, I fell in love with Noir de Noir, did not fall in love with the price tag. Anybody have any good dupes? And overwhelmingly, people said Club de Nuit Intense Woman from Armoff. And I had actually heard about Club de Nuit Intense before. I know Bougie Fragrance did a video. They reviewed a bunch of Armoff fragrances. And I remember them saying that it smelled like Noir de Noir. I had just forgotten about that in the moment. And so when I got the suggestions on Facebook, I was like, oh, right. And so I got it from Fragrance X, and I spent $34.26 on a 3.6 ounce EDP spray. So a big boy bottle. I think it was the only size it came in. If you are not familiar with Armoff, they are a Middle Eastern fragrance house that I think they do specialize in clones. I don't know if they also have their own, like their own scents, like fragrances, like their own unique fragrances, or if they are just a clone house. But they are most well known probably for the Club de Nuit Intense Woman being a spot-on dupe of Tom Ford's Noir de Noir. So I ordered it, blind buy, but I was like, you know what? I need to try it. And it's $34. You know, you can't go wrong. So tried it, it came in, and holy moly, the people were not wrong. Now, I did a side-by-side comparison, and then I wore one day, and then I wore just the Noir de Noir the next day, and then just the Club de Nuit Intense Woman the rest of the week, because I ran out of my sample. Now, so spraying them side by side, to me, it's a dead on. The Armoff is a dead on dupe of Noir de Noir. Side by side, yeah, there are some different nuances. I would say the Club de Nuit is a little bit more rose forward than Tom Ford's Noir de Noir. But outside of that, I on a blind like sniff test, I don't think the average consumer would be able to tell them apart. I think if you can tell them apart, then you have to be a perfumer and your nose has to be like on the level, the equivalent of like a well-developed palate of like a wine sommelier. You know, like you, if you can tell the difference between Noir de Noir and Club de Nuit Intense for women, you have to have a super well-developed nose. I don't think the average consumer has, you know, they wouldn't know the difference. That's the only, honestly, smelling them side by side, that's the only difference that I could tell up top is the Club de Nuit Intense has a little bit more of that rose. Dry down, virtually indistinguishable to me. I do think the Club de Nuit, I prefer the Club de Nuit over the Noir de Noir. I think the Club de Nuit, they really amp up the roses and chocolate factor. So it's like you have Noir de Noir with that roses and chocolate. Club de Nuit just amplifies that roses and chocolate. Still smells the same, except Club de Nuit just puts a little bit more ass behind that fragrance. And it lasts longer. So on me, the Noir, now caveat it by saying I live in Florida, it's still very hot. So typically fragrances that might not last long in hot weather because they could evaporate a little bit quickly. If you're in a colder, more moderate climate, you might get more wear, more longevity out of it. But for me, the Noir de Noir, after about 4 or 5 hours, I couldn't even smell. By the end of the day, it was indetectable. It was gone. The Club de Nuit, it depends. I will say it depends. The first time I wore it was on a work day. I mean, I work from home, but I wasn't like going out and running errands or anything like that. So I was pretty much at my computer all day in the air condition, not running around, not sweating or doing expending a lot of energy. And it got me through a work day. I could smell it all throughout the day. It got me through a work day. We ended up going out to dinner that night. It was a Friday night. And yeah, I reapplied to kind of zhuzh it up because it was starting to fade by that point. But that particular day, it got me through my 8 hours, and then I had to reapply for that evening. Now, I have since worn it twice this week, including today. And both times I have been going, like running errands nonstop. So, like getting in my car, running around town, getting out of my car, it's hot, sweating. Today I was cleaning. So expending a lot of energy, and I would say I got maybe like 4 or 5 hours. It lasted about as long as the Noir de Noir. So again, different energy levels, different weather, in and out of the heat versus being in the air conditioning all day did affect performance of Club de Nuit Intense Woman for me. However, considering that I paid $34.26 for a 3.6 ounce bottle versus $263 for the 50 milliliter bottle, because that's how much Noir de Noir goes for. I don't care. I think it's at the price point of the Armaf, just you can bathe in it. You can just reapply. You can apply it judiciously. You don't feel like you have to save it for a special occasion or spray conservatively to make your fragrance last because you spent so much money on it. You can, spray away, reapply to your little heart's content. You can't, you have that freedom. Now, packaging. So Noir de Noir is in that Tom Ford private blend packaging. I think we all know what that looks like. It's very sleek. It'll look really nice on your vanity. The Armaf packaging is gaudy and tacky, and I kind of hate it. I think it's like the gaudiest bottle in my collection, and I hate gaudy bottles. It's heavy, it's clunky, it's black with like a gold top with like rhinestones. You have a gold medallion on the black bottle that says Armaf with rhinestones, like a gold chain attaching to the neck of the spray or something like that. I don't have the bottle right in front of me. I mean, it's ugly and it looks cheap, but I would rather a fragrance company go cheap on the packaging and make sure the juice smells really good than vice versa, if that makes any sense. So I don't like the packaging on the Armaf. However, the fragrance to me is dead on dupe for Noir de Noir. The Armaf does not smell cheap. It actually smells very high end. And like I said, I do not think the average consumer would be able to tell the difference in a blind sniff test. Now, the price point, you can get Club de Nuit. I spent $34.26 on it. That's what I'm also seeing on Fragrance X, fragranceshop.com, I think. I have not used this, so I cannot vouch. They're selling it for $21.67. Amazon's got it for $28.99. Yeah, so fragrancenet.com has it for $29.89. They were sold out when I ordered it, so I don't know if they got it back in stock. So you can get it for like $40 or like $35 and under. You can find it on the major discounters or Amazon. Noir de Noir comes in three sizes. This is on Sephora. Your 10-milliliter travel spray is going to run you $65. Your 50-milliliter, like I mentioned, oh, it's going to be $263. Your 100-milliliter, 3.4 big boy ounces, is going to be $360. Again, just say for the sake of performance, the performance on each is about the same with Club de Nuit Intense Woman, just edging out Tom Ford's Noir de Noir. Again, it depends on the environment you're in and the temperature that will affect the performance there, from what I have seen. But I gotta say, for the performance, for the smell itself, I don't feel like I'm missing out by not having the Noir de Noir in my collection. I am very happy with Club de Nuit Intense Woman. I will repurchase when I run out of that bottle, which I might never run out. It might take me, I mean, I feel like I'm gonna go to that bottle for like the next, 40 years or some shit. Like, it's a big bottle. Yeah, I'm very happy to have it in my collection. I am very happy with the Club de Nuit Intense Woman. I think that if you're like me, and you like Noir de Noir, but maybe you don't want to drop a couple hundred, a few hundred on a bottle, or maybe you just can't afford to drop a hundred, a couple hundred on a bottle, but you still want that sit in your collection. I stand by Club de Nuit Intense Woman from Armoff. You're not going to know the difference. You're not. And it's gorgeous. It has that sexy, the Club de Nuit Intense Woman still has that sexy roses and dark chocolate thing just amped up, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to be very happy with it. So for me, the Fragrance Showdown Club de Nuit Intense Woman beats out Tom Ford Noir de Noir. It smells just like it. It's better value, and the performance is equal or better than Noir de Noir. So with that, I will wrap this up. I want to know what your experience is. If do you have experience with both Noir de Noir or Club de Nuit Intense Woman, which do you prefer? And let me know. I'm curious to see if you were under the same impression I was and you think it smells identical. Okay, fragrance in the news. I have two for you today. The first article is from NPR and it talks about Grasse, the perfume capital of the world. And the article title is called In France's Perfume Capital of the World, There's a World of Beautiful Fragrance. It's just kind of an overview of Grasse's history, Grasse, France, which most of the perfumes are manufactured there because it has the perfect soil and climate for growing tons of different flowers. What I thought was interesting was it didn't always used to have the reputation for being the perfume capital in the world. Apparently, back in the Middle Ages, it had a lot of tanneries. Leather was like the main commodity coming out of Grasse. And because of that, the town smelled. It smelled like dead animals and lye. And then I guess the glove makers try are the leather glove makers are the first people who tried to make their product smell better using, I think picking the flowers that grew naturally over there and putting them in animal fat and letting the perfumed animal fat seep into the leather to scent it. Then eventually they said that the tanners switched to perfume making when the taxes on leather rose too high, and it's been the perfume capital ever since. And so then it just goes into it profiles people whose families are in the perfume business, and like they pick the flowers. Like one guy says that you have like, I guess, jasmine is a very delicate flower, so you have to pick it by hand. And there, before they can wilt, they're transported to a factory less than a mile away, where the flower scent is extracted from the flower. And then it just kind of, it's just, it kind of goes into, the 1700s and the 1800s perfume making there, and how now, perfumers, I guess the factories have moved outside of the old town, but you still have boutiques and independent perfumeries popping up in Grasse. And it kind of profiles a few of those perfumers doing that. And then it mentions climate change as a concern. It's just very interesting. They have, the different spots where visitors can make their own perfumes themselves if they want. It's just kind of like an overview of Grasse and its perfume history, some of the people who are in the perfume business and who own boutiques there, and then what there is for visitors. So, as always, I will have links to these articles in the show notes if you want to read it for yourself. But it's just kind of a good brief overview of Grasse and what makes it so special and why it's known as the perfume capital of the world. Okay. This next one is from Jing Daily. And it's, I don't know if this was, it's written in English. But basically, it's talking about, I guess China has shopping festivals and shopping holidays, and young people are have a lot of buying power now in China, and they are buying niche perfumes, which I thought was very interesting. So let's see. Apparently, there's 618 online shopping festivals in June alone of 20 of this year. This article says there were 618 online shopping festivals, and they said niche fragrance sales on Tmall platforms. I'm guessing these are online shopping platforms. Rose by 200% year over year, according to Alibaba. I guess L'Artisan Parfumer, that niche brand, sold more than let's see, sold more than RMB 3 million. So in dollars, that's $462,200 worth of its popular scent, Passage Denifer. And it is the top selling niche brand on the platform Tmall Global. Let's see. I guess Chinese consumers, they are restricted from traveling internationally because of the pandemic, but they're still online shopping and they're flocking to international niche perfumeries, apparently, at least the young people are. They're still seeking out imported products from sellers, and I guess this platform Tmall Global helps international ch sellers reach the Chinese consumers a little bit easier. They mentioned another one was Maison Margiela's Replica line was another popular brand during, I'm gonna butcher this name, Kixi. It's a romantic holiday observed in China. I guess they also observe Valentine's Day, and I guess there's another holiday called 520 on May 20th, which sounds like I love you in Mandarin. Kixi falls on the seventh day of the seventh month on the lunar calendar, and is based on a legend of two lovers who could only meet on that one day of the year. And I guess there's it's a like Valentine's Day here in the US. Kixi is a holiday over there that sees a lot of retail action. And I guess the Replica brand, they launched on Tmall Global in April 2021, and they launched an affordable gift set of 10 sample size fragrances, and it became one of the best sellers during the Kixi holiday. And I guess Replica is doing well because Asian consumers are looking for gender neutral products. So they're kind of leading away from traditionally feminine scents that are very, maybe very floral or very sweet, and they're going for ones with a little bit more personality. So I mean, the Maison Margiela's Replica line is like right up that alley. Penhaligon's was another one that, and it's been on Tmall Global since October of 2019. And then they said by August 2020, it had topped their list of imported niche perfumes favored by young shoppers again during the Kixi Festival. So they expanded its marketing, and I guess they got a top spot on a beauty live streamer pod broadcast in April 2021. So I just thought this was super interesting, that I feel like niche perfumes, just based on my anecdotal experience being in online groups, they get a lot of love. And it looks like it's not just Westerners that are giving these brands love. Apparently, young Chinese consumers are also loving these types of scents too. So I thought that was really cool. And yeah, those are my two articles for this week. Again, links will be on the show note and also on the blog. All right, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, thank you for hanging out with me, for listening to me bitch and moan about my cleaning and just life right now. Hashtag blessed. And yeah, whether you if you're an OG listener, thank you for sticking around. If you're new, I hope you come back. I have a lot of fun on here, and I think the people who listen have like tend to have fun too, or at least they enjoy listening to my rant sometimes, I think. Yeah, if you want to connect with me online, you can do so on Instagram. I'm at Pinot and Perfume there. I have a blog, pinotperfume.wordpress.com. Those usually have it's the same information that's in the it's the show notes on Anchor. But they're just in a format that's easier to read, and you can click on the links there. I also do standalone, like I'll just do a little bit, a write-up of the scent of the week. Probably not going to happen again this week because I spent all of my energy decluttering and organizing and cleaning. So now it's time to relax. I got up to go blow my nose, and I feel like an old lady. Like I overextended myself today. And yeah, I'm hobbling around like a 75-year-old woman. But yeah, so check me out on the blog. You can also email the show, pinotandperfumepodcast@gmail.com. If the spirit moves you and you want to leave a 5-star review, like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate it. If you already have left a review, thank you. It really means a lot to me. It helps people like put this little podcast in front of more listeners. If you love Emily in Paris, or you love to hate Emily in Paris, I have a second podcast that I co-host with my friend Jenna. It's called Savoir Shade. It's an Emily in Paris recap. We have a lot of fun. We go on some real tangents. It's on Anchor as well. You can listen to it on the same spots you can listen here, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, all the usual suspects. And I think that's it. Oh, if you're on Peloton, I haven't worked out on Peloton in a hot minute, but I am on Peloton. I'm hashtag Pinot and Perfume there. We can be workout buddies. I did do a prenatal yoga class earlier this week. Yay me. That's it. As always, thank you for listening. I hope that whatever you're doing, you're having fun, you're being safe, but most importantly, you are smelling good. Bye.
Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.